Good morning. Again, this is Precept Bible Study, and our study is from the book, Lord, I Want to Know You, and it's about the names of God, and we have studied several of those names, and now we have come to a new name that we haven't studied today. And it is Jehovah Sabaoth. And this name means Lord of Hosts. And looking at and understanding this name, when you look in the Hebrew Bible, it means an army or a company for war. Power and might, all might. So let's begin our study today. This is in chapter 14. And let's pray before we begin. Heavenly Father, we're so thankful that we can come before you this day and give you praise and honor by studying your great word and learning the names that you have written in your word that tells us who you are, your character, your attributes, and your nature. And as we have already studied so many, we just continue to ask you, Father, to teach us as we go through the names, that, Father, each time that we open your word, that we will know you more and understand everything that you have written down by knowing your character and knowing who you are. Thank you, Father, for such love that you have poured out on us by giving us your word. And I ask it now in the name of Jesus. Amen. Now, when we in life have no strength, we are facing battles. We have come to the time maybe in our life that we have such a load, such a burden on us that we don't know which way to turn. Then this is where we need to know the name, the Lord of Hosts, whose name is Jehovah Sabaoth. And if we look at the book of Zechariah, that name, Lord of Hosts, appears 52 times. And in the book of Jeremiah, it appears 83 times. And then as we look at the book of Malachi, again we see that it is 24 times. So when you see a name or a word that appears that many times, that's repeated, it's very, very important. God put it there in all of these different times for the reason that he's saying it's very important that you look at this word. So this is the name of those whose resources are inadequate in the midst of struggle. In other words, whenever we struggle with sickness, pain, finances, family problems, any of those things in life, then this is where we need to run. The name of God, to run to when there's no other help. When we're facing these things in life, it's an army of Satan that we're fighting against in the spirit. So we, in the flesh, face these things, but we have a spiritual one that we can run to. So this is a name that we know that we can run to because he is the one who delivers and also the one who judges. Now, I want us to begin by reading in the book of Malachi. And let's read Malachi verse 9 through 14. And we're going to see in the book of Malachi, in every chapter of these four chapters, Malachi repeats over and over again, says the Lord of hosts, says the Lord of hosts. So he is repeating what God has given him to say to the people. Starting with verse 9, but now will you not entreat God's favor that he may be gracious to us? With such an offering on your part, will he receive any of you kindly? Says the Lord of hosts. Oh, that there were one among you who would shut the gates that you might not usefully kindle fire on my altar. I am not pleased with you, says the Lord of hosts, nor will I accept an offering from you, for from the rising of the sun until its setting, my name will be great among the nations, and in every place incense is going to be offered in to my name, and a grain offering that is pure, for my name will be great among the nations, says the Lord of hosts. But you are profaning it in that you say, the table of the Lord is defiled, and as for its fruit, its food is to be despised. You also say, my, how tiresome it is, and you disdainfully sniff it up, says the Lord of hosts. And you bring what was taken by robbery and what is lame or sick, so you bring the offering. Should I receive that from your hand, says the Lord? But cursed be the swindler who has a male in his flock and vows it, but sacrifices a blemished animal to the Lord. For I am a great king, says the Lord of hosts, and my name is feared among the nations. So here we see that the Lord is telling Malachi to go to the people and tell them, I'm not pleased with all of these offerings that they're bringing to me. They are full of blemish, and they're saving back that is perfect for their own selves. And they should be bringing the very best to me. So, we know then that God is not pleased, and he tells them by telling them that his name is Lord. It is the Lord of hosts. Now, we want to go on and read further in more scripture so that we can get a picture of how that God was displeased with the people because of what they were doing were they were honoring him only with their lips, but not with their lives. And, you know, when we look today at the way that people are living, we see people going to church. We see the churches filled. But how many are really honoring the Lord with their lives? After we go and worship God, what do we do the rest of the week? You know, Sunday is a day to worship Him, but then the rest of the week we're to go out and serve Him by honoring Him, by doing His will and pleasing Him. And that's what Malachi was saying to the people of Israel. You are just coming before the altar and bringing blemished offerings to the God, to the Lord of hosts, but you're not honoring Him with your lives because you're not giving Him the best that He requires, those things that are without blemish. Now then, let's look at 1 Samuel. We're going to see some more about the Lord of hosts and how that these prophets and men of God knew and learned where to go in time of troubles. Starting with 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse 1. Now there was a certain man from Sufham, from the hill country of Ephraim, and his name was Elkanah, the son of Jeroham, the son of Elihu, the son of Tohu, the son of Zub, an Ephraimite. And he had two wives, and the name of one was Hannah, and the name of the other Peninnah. And Peninnah had children, but Hannah had no children. Now this man would go up from his city yearly to worship and to sacrifice to the Lord of hosts in Shiloh. And the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, were priests to the Lord there. So we see that because God had closed Hannah's womb, it brought great distress from her husband's other wife, Peninnah, Elkanah's other wife. She just kind of threw that in her face, so to speak, that, ha ha, look, I can have children, but you can't. And that caused a lot of distress upon Hannah, because she wanted so much to have a child. And it was quite an honor for a woman to have children in that day, especially male children. Now let's go on and read 1 Samuel 1. Verses 6 and 7 and 10 through 11. Her rival, however, would provoke her bitterly to irritate her because the Lord had closed her womb. And it happened year after year, as often as she went up to the house of the Lord, she would provoke her, so she wept and would not eat. And she greatly distressed and prayed to the Lord, and wept bitterly. And she made a vow and said, O Lord of hosts. Now she is making her vow to the Lord of hosts, Jehovah Sabaoth. And she is saying, if thou wilt indeed look on the affliction of thy maiden servant, and remember me, and not forget thy maidenservant, but will give thy maidenservant a son, then I will give him to the Lord all the days of my life, and a razor shall never come upon his head. And so as we read further into the scripture, we see that God answered her prayer and gave Samuel to Hannah. And then as we go further, we're going to look at Jehovah Sabaoth in 1 Samuel when he appears to David and the Philistine giant Goliath. So let's look now at 1 Samuel chapter 17, verses 42 through 47. And when the Philistine looked and saw David, he disdained him, for he was but a youth and ruddy, with a handsome appearance. And the Philistine said to David, "Am I a dog that you come to me with sticks?" And the Philistine cursed David by his God. The Philistine also said to David, "Come to me, and I will give your flesh to the birds of the sky and the beasts of the field." And then David said to the Philistine, "You come to me with a sword, a spear, and a javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have taunted. This day the Lord will deliver you up into my hands, and I will strike you down and remove your head from you, and I will give the dead bodies of the army of the Philistines this day to the birds of the sky and the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel, and that all this assembly may know that the Lord does not deliver by sword or by spirit, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands." Now, we're looking at both Hannah and David. They both called upon the Lord of hosts, and they received deliverance because they ran into that high tower that is the Lord. And deliverance is always there in every situation that we face if we just run to the one, the Lord of hosts. And remember, as we studied in Proverbs 18:10, it said, "The righteous who run into it and are saved." So now then we see the third occurrence of Jehovah Sabaoth in 1 Samuel. We find the Israelites are in conflict with the Philistines. Let's read now 1 Samuel chapter 4, verses 3 and 4. "And when the people came into the camp, the elders of Israel said, 'Why has the Lord defeated us today before the Philistines? Let us take to ourselves from Shiloh the ark of the covenant of the Lord, that it may come among us and deliver us from the power of our enemies.' So the people sent to Shiloh, and from there they carried the ark of the covenant of the Lord of hosts, here we see again, who sits above the cherubim, and the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, were there with the ark of the covenant of God." God's people thought that all they needed was the presence of the ark of the covenant of the Lord of hosts. And certainly then, deliverance would come from Jehovah Sabaoth, but they were wrong. Why? Religion does not deliver. It's only righteousness that delivers. They were still unrighteous. They were still just worshiping with their lips and not with their lives. It was just a form of worship. Today we hear the word religion. There's so many that say, oh, I have religion. But it's not religion that saves us. There's nothing that we can have or do that we can be saved. We know that Jesus himself is only the way that we can be saved, not by works, not by what we can do. They thought that if they brought in the Ark of the Covenant, what they were doing and not calling on the Lord of hosts to save them. And that's the way it is today. People feel that if they go to church, if they pay their tithes, that is sufficient for salvation. You cannot be saved. You cannot be a member of the body of Christ without true salvation. And true salvation only comes through the blood of Christ. Jesus said in John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me. There's no way then that we can be saved except through our faith and our belief in Jesus. By his grace, we are saved through faith. So these people then were trying to perform a way to be saved from the Philistines by their own works. Now let's go further and read 1 Samuel chapter 4, verses 10 through 11. So the Philistines fought, and Israel was defeated, and every man fled to his tent, and the slaughter was very great. For there fell of Israel 30,000 foot soldiers, and the ark of God was taken, and the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, died. Can you see now, can you understand that his name, the name the Lord of hosts, is a strong tower to call on? And if we want deliverance, we have to come to him in righteousness. It's not religion that saves us, but it's the righteousness that we receive from him. And we know that he is our righteousness, the Lord, our righteousness. Now, we're going to study a little bit later about another word that is the name of the Lord, and it's the Lord, our righteousness. So, until then, let's go forward and study some more on the Lord of hosts. Is the Lord is my host. He is the Lord of hosts. Psalms 18:10 says, God is the Lord of hosts. The righteous runs into it and saves and is saved. So remember, that was one of the verses that we were to memorize. God is the Lord of hosts. The righteous runs into it and is saved. Now, again, let's go back and look at some more scripture. Jeremiah chapter 20, verses 11 through 13. O Lord of hosts, thou who dost test the righteous, who seeth the mind of the heart. Let me see thy vengeance on them, for to thee I have set forth my cause. Sing to the Lord, praise the Lord, for he has delivered the soul of the needy one from the hand of the evils. And that was from Jeremiah 20, chapter 20, verse 11 through 13. The Lord of hosts is with us. The Lord, the God of Jacob, is our stronghold. That is Psalm 46, 7. The Lord of hosts is with us. The Lord of Jacob is our stronghold. And that's our memory verse for today. So when we're in battle or when we're in conflict, then we need to run to the Lord of hosts. We learned in 1 Samuel 17 that the battle is the Lord's. That's what David told Goliath. It wasn't his battle, but it was the Lord's battle. And then another thing we learn in Job 38 is that he rules over all. And then a third thing, that it is by his Spirit that we can overcome. And that's found in Zechariah and 2 Chronicles. And Ephesians 6 tells us to put on the full armor of God. And when we put on all the armor of God, he is our Lord of hosts. He is our Jehovah Jabbath. And we're going to end now the study today in asking and answering a few questions about what we have just studied. First of all, we've already talked about Jehovah Sabaoth, that he is the Lord of hosts. And it means he is our army. He is our strength. He is almighty and in control of everything. So he is the one that fights our battles. Now, if you had to characterize the strongest quality of Jehovah Sabaoth, what would it be? The strongest quality. What is it about the Lord our host, the strongest thing about him? It's his power and his strength, that he is God Almighty. So, what is the prerequisite for calling on him? Why? Why do we call on him? And we call on him to fight our battles. We cannot fight our battles without him. He is the one that we run to. He's a mighty strong tower. Now, how did David use this name? We know that he used the name because he said, "The battle is not mine, it is the Lord's." He let the Lord fight the battle for him, didn't he? It was his faith that God was going to defeat this giant Goliath. So, in what kind of situations can we see that having this knowledge of his name would be valuable? What do we face in life that we would need to run to the Lord of hosts to fight our battles for us? There's so many things that we face. Sometimes we have discontentment in a family of husband and wife, and what a time that they need to cancel with the Lord of hosts. Not a man's cancel, but God, if they will just go to the Lord of hosts, he will fight the battle and overcome what Satan is trying to put between them. And then there are times when we face sicknesses, we face heartaches. We may be sick ourselves, or we may have a loved one that's sick, and we feel so helpless that we can't do for us to bring healing and to take away our pain. But we know the Lord of hosts, our Jehovah Sabaoth, he is the one that we can run to in these times. And then all through life, as we face difficulties and trials and troubles and disappointments, he is the one. We need to run to him. We need to run to that high tower, to the Lord of hosts, that great army. God himself is the army that fights our battles for us throughout life. So we just need to know his name and know that he's there for us, and that if we just turn to him, he will fight our battles for us. Now then, we'll close today in this study in prayer. Heavenly Father, help us not to just worship you with our lips, but help us, Father, to worship you in righteousness, to worship you by coming to you and giving all of our battles to you, Father, because we can't fight any of our battles in life without you. You are our strength. You are our army. You're in control of everything. And we look to you, and how wonderful it is to know another name that you have that teaches us that we have such a God that fights our battles, no matter what they may be, small or large. You want us to run to you. And we only have that righteousness because he says, the righteous run to me. And we only have that righteousness through Christ Jesus, through our salvation, that our faith, our hope, our belief in Jesus, that he shed his blood for our sins, gives us the righteousness that we can run to you, the Lord of hosts. Thank you for your precious word. Thank you for teaching us to know you more and to know your character and to know your nature of what a great and mighty God that you are. Thank you, Father. And we ask it in the name of Jesus. Amen.